think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Maria Bartiromo, and it is Tuesday, July 11th. It is 8 a.m. on the East Coast. Think tank official Gal Luft indicted by the Department of Justice. This is the whistleblower that has helped House Republicans. The Republicans were hoping to interview him on information he provided to the FBI about the Biden family's Chinese business dealings. So what does the DOJ do? They indict Luft. He was arrested in Cyprus in February. At that time, he tweeted, quote, "The DOJ is trying to bury me to protect Joe, Jim, and Hunter Biden. Shall I name names?" he wrote. The Southern District of New York unveiled Luft's charges last night, which include failing to register as a foreign agent and arms trafficking.
Well, failed to register as a foreign agent. The same exact thing that Hunter Biden was doing while he was collecting money for the Biden crime family. But no charges against Hunter Biden. Do you smell something rotten here? Of course you do. We're going to break it down for you again. Thank you for joining us. Reminding you, during the noon hour each day, Monday through Friday, we do a live stream. We're now on Rumble. We're on Larry Connors USA Facebook, News Talk STL Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're everywhere. You can't help but see us. That will be during the noon hour. And, of course, we thank you very much for joining us for the 6 o'clock report. The Daily Report every day. So here we are, July 11, 2023. Live streaming everywhere for you with the story that just continues to confound, confuse, and stinks like a whole hog gutted. And I know of what I'm speaking when I say that. There was Maria Bartiromo pointing out that Dr. Gal Luft, an Israeli scientist, extensive credentials. He's now charged because he failed to register as a foreign agent doing business in the U.S. And they're also accusing him of trafficking in arms. Now, I don't know for sure, nor do you, if this is a fact or fiction on the charges. But methinks, and I think you think, why are they charging Luft with failing to register as a foreign agent when Hunter Biden did exactly the same thing? And we know it over and over again by his own words, his own admission, the very documentation appearing on the tape, his laptop, the very documentation appearing in bank records. And not one charge, not even a small charge, reference failing to register as a foreign agent. Dr. Gal Luft has said, I think they're trying to shut me down. That's why I ran away to Cyprus to get out of Israel. I wanted to try to hide. Well, of course, they have located him, arrested him, and now charged him. And South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace feels the same way you do as to something is fishy here.
We have a lot of questions. We want to know why the evidence he brought forth to the FBI in that Brussels meeting in 2019 was not followed up on. And the irony here is not lost on anyone. Charging him for failing to register as a foreign agent. Well, I have a question for the DOJ and the FBI this morning. What was Hunter Biden doing with millions and millions of dollars from foreign countries advocating and lobbying on their behalf?
Yes, exactly. It's a legitimate question. Now, maybe Luft is guilty as charged, but how can you possibly jump the shark, as they say, and charge him and ignore Hunter Biden right in front of you? Oh, well, that's the Biden privilege. Not white privilege, it's Biden privilege. It extends deep. Dr. Luft was detailing some of his experiences to basically a piece he submitted to Miranda Devine for the New York Post, and then later other broadcast outlets picked it up Listen to how he described what he was going through.
For 4 years, I was senior advisor to the China Energy Company, CEFC, at the same time of its dealings with the Biden family. Under normal circumstances, I would be testifying before Congress about my experience with CEFC. Sadly, due to circumstances I shall describe here in this video, I am forced to tell you this story via video.
There are no normal circumstances in this case. That was the missing witness from the Biden corruption investigation. His name is Israeli professor Dr. Gal Luft. He laid out his bribery allegations against the president's family in an extraordinary video filmed in an undisclosed location while he is at this moment on the run.
That was a Fox News reporter kind of bringing you an encapsulated report on what's happening with him, what he was trying to do, and why he had to go through a clandestine operation to get his story out. Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn says all of this smokescreen, the mirrors, the distractions, the detours, the gaping holes that exist around the Biden family need to be fully investigated. They're trying to make Gal Luft the fall guy.
One of the things that everyone is wanting to know is what is the extent that Biden Incorporated has operated with foreign entities, and who all have they been involved with in this process? And so you have Gal Luft, who says, yes, we've got this information. He brings this forward. As Representative May said, they want to interview him so that they can get to the bottom of this. But Maria, it's important to note that as these investigations continue, and as you see this White House and DOJ and FBI having to protect the Biden family because of these interactions that have taken place by Joe Biden's family, or the alleged actions that have taken place, then at some point this is going to begin to crumble.
Yes, much like that cookie begins to crumble and fall all over the floor, you're never going to get all the crumbs up. They think they will. They'll burn the house down if they have to make sure you don't find any crumbs. Once again, Dr. Gal Luft and the threat he's under.
I shared my information about the Biden family's financial transactions with CFC, including specific dollar figures. But perhaps the most alarming information I revealed was of a mole within the DOJ who shared classified information with Hunter Biden and his Chinese partners. After Brussels, I never heard back from the DOJ. But instead of showing appreciation for my whistleblowing, I became public enemy number one.
You know, if you got somebody that's got inside dope on a story, be it a mafia crime family, the Biden crime family, whatever, and you've got four FBI agents sitting in listening, taking notes, meeting with him in Brussels, they never once even get back to him, don't even raise another question. Okay, we're done. We're good. Wipe our hands. We're out of here. No crumbs here. We're going. Until he begins to realize, you know, I told them about that mole that's inside, also reporting to the Biden family. The one is supposedly called One Eye. And that might come back to haunt me. And that's when he began to fear for his life. And I think rightly so. It would not be the first time. You don't have to be a James Bond fanatic to believe that people disappear. Sleep with the fishes, or however else you want to describe it. And Dr. Gal Luft right now, he needs to be in front of Congress under full protective custody. The issue is, who do you really believe would protect him and not leave just enough of a gap for someone to get to him? Now, we also have Senator Grassley and Johnson. that had been talking to whistleblowers with the IRS. The FBI whistleblowers have been going to Comer. The IRS whistleblowers talking to Grassley and Johnson. And one IRS whistleblower made it very clear how an assistant U.S. attorney blocked his investigation.
We know what the whistleblower from the IRS investigation said, that he wanted to investigate certain things at a home in Virginia, other things, and they said you can't do that. They said also that you couldn't ask questions about the so-called big guy, and everybody knows what that's a reference to, and just exactly what role does she play if she stopped investigations of some of the things that the investigators at IRS wanted to follow up on? What was followed up on the 1023 in regard to the FBI investigating whether these phone calls actually took place? We've got to know what the FBI doing. Is it following up the way they should follow up, or are they sweeping things under the rug to protect somebody?
I think we know the answer, do we not? We still want to ask it. We want them under oath to give us an answer. But I think it's very clear what's happening. You've got Attorney General Merrick Garland insisting, we've done nothing. We're not done with my mealy mouth. We are not going to do anything to stop anybody from investigating. We don't do that. Yes, you are, and you've done it in numerous ways. And so you have here this case of the Delaware Assistant U.S. Attorney, Leslie Wolf, who began to interfere as the IRS agents continued to look into the Biden potential crime activities in evading, not avoiding taxes, evading taxes. And, of course, then he ends up entering a plea. And a good friend of the family comes out of California with a $2 million check and pays off the balance of what is due on the taxes and all the penalties and interest. What a great friend to have. They just want it to go away. Well, of course, the judge has to accept that plea bargain, and so far we haven't seen it presented to the judge to see what's going to happen. But there's another thing here. You heard Senator Grassley mention the Form 1023s. The Form 1023s are non-classified. They were from a good confidential source the FBI had used all the way back to the Obama years, paid him $100,000 to $200,000 worth of money for information that proved valid. And he claimed that he talked to a Russian oligarch, or maybe one from Burisma, or a combination thereof, who said he had audio recordings. Audio recordings that had Hunter Biden on 15 of them, Joe Biden on 2 of them. Well, when Grassley went to take a look at the so-called 1023s, which are not supposed to be classified, he had to go into the SCIF, the secure compartment area, not take pictures, take notes, just kind of make notations in his head as to what's valuable here. And what he saw versus what was later released to the entire House committee, once again, we have a big issue.
I've made public that Representative Comer and I have read an unredacted document of the 1023 that we're talking about. And then, you know, in order to satisfy the House, they thought they could get away with bringing that document up to the SCIF for members of the House Oversight Committee to read. And then guess what? The line talking about the 17 recorded phone calls was redacted. It wasn't redacted in the document that I and Comer read. And so I hope Wednesday somebody in the House committee will ask Ray why that was redacted for the House to see when I know what that those lines said. 17 phone calls supposedly recorded by somebody in Ukraine, two of them with then Vice President Biden and 15 of them with Hunter Biden.
Senator Grassley saw that in the Form 1023. But then when it was released to the entire committee, those statements were redacted. Now, tomorrow, supposedly the Senate, the House Congressional Oversight Ways Committee, along with Jim Jordan's Judiciary Committee, will have either Christopher Wray and or others in front of them, and they're going to be asking about those redactions that suddenly were put in place. And, of course, the other big question, the audio tapes themselves, do they exist? If they do, who has them? Now, the guy that recorded them supposedly still has them. That's the storyline we're getting so far. Larry Kudlow of Fox was asking Senator Grassley the question we all have, and that is, where the hell are the tapes?
He's on the lam with his tapes. He may be at the gambling casino in Montenegro. No one knows where this guy is. How are we going to find him? This is probably the most important political event in this story and maybe one of the worst corruption scandal in the history of the United States.
Well, only the FBI can answer that, and I don't have an answer from the FBI. Did they follow up, or did they show their usual political bias and shove it under the rug?
Well, what do you think? What do you think? You think the FBI has the tapes? Do you think there's only one set of tapes? You're a pretty smart fella, and as I said, no one's going to mess with you when you get your backup. What's happened to these tapes?
I want the FBI to tell me. Because that's the only place I can get the information, because they have the responsibility to investigate. Remember, 1023 is an unclassified document. Larry, you should be able to read it as much as I can.
And every American should have the right to see that unredacted 1023. It is not classified, but I will tell you this, and I will bet they're talking about it already inside the White House. The president could suddenly decide, we're going to classify it. Everything's under seal. It wouldn't surprise me if that happens. It won't make it go away. It's just going to make the noise louder, more banging at the door. Now, coming up, I want you to hear from Margo Cleveland, legal senior correspondent for The Federalist, on how she sees the DOJ blocking the Biden investigation. And, of course, the latest on the cocaine in the White House. Where is it? Do we know any more today? Will we know any more? And in our second hour, all the things that Trump is being accused of as far as being a racist, and also report as to facts about black Republicans versus black Democrats, things that you probably didn't know because you're not smart enough to know them. We have a lot to cover. Thank you for joining us as we continue our live stream on various sources. Let your friends and family know. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My next guest we've had on numerous times before because, for one, she's darn good about her information. She's certainly intelligent enough to also help you understand it. But I have a question, Margo, that may throw you in the beginning. I'm going to admit that up front here. Our guest, is Professor Margo Cleveland. She is a senior legal analyst for the Federalist. Margo, have you been in the White House lately carrying a little bag of white powder sometime?
No, I haven't, but I would think whoever had fingerprints all over it, and that they should have easily been able to discover who owned it. And if it was a construction worker, we would have already heard that.
You pointed out a tweet the other day right after this happened, and I referred to it to the audience. I want to go through it again. You said, FYI, visitors to the White House, even the fancy soirees and invite-only parties, including guests on tours, are taken past at least one bomb and drug-sniffing dog checkpoint outside, just like at the airport where you walk in pairs and a dog goes back and forth. They might have been able to get a weapon they thought possibly past a metal detector, but it would have been caught. A bag of cocaine wouldn't show up on a metal detector, but those canines, they're not going to let it past.
Right. So you got to wonder if how this happened. And the bigger picture, everyone's making a joke out of it, but if they were able to get that in the White House, what else were they able to get in? So it's really not a laughing matter.
No, it's not.
The fact that the spokesperson for the president is acting outraged that people are asking questions. You know, I never thought it was Hunter's. I was kind of joking about that at the beginning, because I say it shouldn't be a joking matter. But after they've gone through a week of not telling us, now I'm starting to think it was.
Yeah.
Who else, unless it was Joe or Jill Biden, who else is it going to be that big of a deal?
Well, and how it keeps moving around, how it was outside the library, and then it's somewhere else, and then it's in the West Wing and another. This is a walking, moving piece of cocaine. It's pretty powerful, I guess.
Exactly. It's the next gen of the drugs of choice, I guess.
Well, now, to that point also, and about it not being such a joking matter, what if it had been something like fentanyl or some kind of biological chemical weapon that they were sneaking in, and all you have to do is release it and it's dispersed quickly?
Right. That's exactly why they need to be more upfront and with their procedures. But it makes no sense that they don't know whose it was. And the fact that the story is changing and they haven't said whose it was and made sure the person was either fired or if it was a family member that they were sent over to the prosecutor, it tells us that they're trying to hide and cover something. And that's just par for the course of this administration.
There's another part of that question you just raised, and that is that by signing on to become a member of the White House staff, you had to submit at any point to a lie detector test and or a hair sample, urine sample. Refusal to do so can cost you your job and may end up being charges. To my knowledge, no one has been asked to do a lie detector, no hair samples taken, no urine sample taken from anybody who might have been associated. And of course, they're not going to ask the Bidens to do so.
Right. And I don't even know why you would have to get down that road, because if someone's going to leave the cocaine, the fingerprints are going to be there, or there's going to be DNA, that they should very quickly be able to discover whose this is. And
it could have had someone bring it into them, though.
Right, but still, there would have been some fingerprints on there, and whether it was the person who brought it to them, and then you find out from them who did they bring it to, what the connections are. But if they can find the grannies who were a mile away from the Capitol for January 6th, they can easily find out whose cocaine this was.
Your piece the other day in the Federalist, and I wanted to have you on then, but I know you're extremely busy, so I always appreciate your time. You were talking about how Senator Grassley, and we've been talking about him before you joined us, has been probing all the ways that the Biden investigation has been obstructed, and one of the most recent being the Delaware Assistant U.S. Attorney, Leslie Wolf, who was basically doing everything she could to shut down anything that would unveil any basic damning information regarding Hunter Biden or Joe Biden.
Right, and this connects to a piece that I had today where they're questioning Ray Laters. I want to know why things were shut down. Was this assistant U.S. attorney the one who was making the decisions on what to shut down? Was it someone at headquarters, at the DOJ headquarters, making those decisions? Was it FBI had been told by headquarters that, you know, these are the things you can't do, and the U.S. attorney then just kind of passed that on to the IRS whistleblowers, and they're whistleblowers now. So, Grant, a person of interest that knows why this was done. So was she doing this out of her own, I guess, perspective of what was appropriate to investigate? Did Weiss tell her this?
Do you believe that's possible she did it on her own?
Yeah, I think that she could have decided that, look, we need to focus this. We don't want to make this a problem for the 2020 election. And she might have thought that this was a legitimate narrowing. So I'm not saying that she did this because she was trying to interfere. I'm saying she could have thought, look, this involves Hunter Biden. This is what I'm going to make sure we stay focused on. She's fairly high up in the office, so it could be.
Well, the letter Grassley sent the other day to the Delaware U.S. Attorney David Weiss was talking about, we know that the confidential human source in that Form 1023 reported that $5 million in bribes minimum was paid to the Bidens in one fashion or another, and she refused to let them look into that, didn't want them to use the term big guy in the investigation, didn't even want them to go through the home. Is that correct?
Right. That is correct. And here, though, you have to keep in mind that former Attorney General Barr had set up new requirements for approval from DOJ headquarters if they were going to be investigating a presidential candidate. So she would have actually had to have sought authority to do an investigation that touches on Joe Biden under the new DOJ rules. So it might have been that she thought, this is not something I'm going to ask for permission, or she did seek it and was denied it. And that's where Grassley focusing in on her gives us the ability to say, okay, why did you do this? Who knew that you were doing this? Did she do it alone? Did she talk to Weiss? Did she talk to someone? At that time, it would have still been Attorney General Barr. So did she run it by anyone? And that part wouldn't make sense, because Barr sent it to DOJ, to Delaware, for it to be investigated.
You're listening to Margo Cleveland, the Federalist. But the other part of the question, and you said she might have done it on her own, but I think if she's smart, she also sees the writing on the wall, and she knows what she should not be doing and what she should be doing.
Right. So it most likely she did speak with someone else in making this decision. But it would seem the most natural person to speak with is Weiss. And here, this ties into all of the equivocation that's coming out of Weiss in the letters and how, well, this is what I was told, and the story just keeps shifting about whether he could have charged in other districts. So again, she is going to be very key for us to understand why no investigation happened.
And again,
and whether
I'm sorry. And again, folks, Margo Cleveland is a professor of law. She knows the law. So I want to ask that based on that, with that knowledge. If she did, as they're claiming, refuse to allow the agents to search Joe Biden's guest house, even though there was, quote, more than probable cause, but then she also then prevented them from searching his storage unit used by the now president's son, everything in there says you can't go here, you can't go there, you can't go there. In other words, there is no investigation. You might as well pack up and go home.
Right. So she definitely had prevented the agents from doing things that they should have been able to do and they would have done in any other circumstances. So the global question for me is why? Did someone tell you to do that? And if not, then she's the one who made these calls that protected the Biden family and should be called out on that.
Well, to that extent, I mean, we all know if you substitute the Trump name for the Biden name, it would have gone 180 degrees different.
Oh, absolutely. I don't see how anyone can look at this and say that they would not have had a different outcome. And you can even see that in the recent charges that were filed against the individual who did lobbying basically for the same firm that Hunter Biden did. And it's just the change the name and you get a totally different outcome is 100% what we're seeing now.
In the last 20 seconds, you know, Joe Biden was asked about all of this money. He said, well, where's the money? Kind of laughing.
So we've got, 10 years to figure out where the money is, but the House has already come up with quite a bit of it, and they've got bank records showing it.
And those are solid bank records. Margo Cleveland of the Federalist, as always, I thank you for your time.
Great. Thanks so much.
You bet we'll do it again. Coming up, back to the cocaine story. How did it get there? Why don't they know yet? We're not done. Stand by, please. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. Allen, OutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not bankers' hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You could narrow down based on the area. So oftentimes in the Trump administration, we would send members of the press who are meeting with the president in the press room. So if it's found in the press room, you'd think, okay, maybe the press who has access to this room. It wasn't found there. You can rule out the press. But then you have a series of deductive reasoning. At first, we're told it was in the library under the residence. All right, tourists walk through there. Then all of a sudden the story changed. Now it's in the cubby holes right when you walk into the West Executive entrance. Now, staff brings their guests right through there. The staff guests are primarily who use that. But then all of a sudden, Sean, the story changes once more. Why does it keep changing? Now it's near the Situation Room, an area that only staff would have access to. So I would say at this point it would have to be a staff member if that reporting is true. There are no cameras inside the West Wing, so that makes it much more difficult. But sit down every staff member. This was on a Sunday, very light foot traffic. Sit down every staff member who had access to that area and try to figure it out. And I assume that is exactly what the Secret Service is doing right now.
That is Kayleigh McEnany, who, of course, was with the Trump administration for a time and is a Fox News contributor now as well. But I want to remind you what she's pointing out there. She mentioned that they would know who came and went through the area, but she also said maybe there aren't cameras in every part of the West Wing. R.A. Flesher is going to join us in a moment and get into more details on that. I know that's been the general consensus that there've got to be cameras everywhere in the White House. Well, apparently there aren't, partly for the privacy of the First Family. And, of course, it has also been for the privacy of anything the First Family, whoever it might be, wants to keep from being public. That's why there are these visitor logs that have to be signed. They have to be documented. And even then they get lost from time to time, or maybe somebody didn't sign in, or they used an alias. If you don't know, it's pretty hard to prove. But the fact that this cocaine baggie was found during, quote, a routine search in an area where apparently there are not a lot of people that go through, so you can certainly limit the number of people. It didn't just fall out of somebody's pocket and lay on the floor unnoticed for hours. The Secret Service is on a continuous basis going through the hallways, checking rooms on a consistent basis, whether or not there's a camera there. That's their J-O-B. There are certain parts of the West Wing where Secret Service agents are probably basically prohibited by the family's demands or their preference that we want to have our privacy, which I think we have to accept would be okay. But then again, if you're wanting it because you're trying to hide something, then you have another issue. So R.A. Flesher at one time had served as a former press secretary for Bush, and he was talking about how this cocaine could have gotten in there, how it could have sat there, and it's not on camera somewhere. R.A. Flesher.
The only other possibility, of course, is whether or not it's a guest who was brought in by White House staff, invited by the Biden administration officials. That's not uncommon, especially on weekends, for the senior staff or staff with sufficient clearance in the West Wing to escort guests, family members, close friends, to give them that rare privileged West Wing tour. And somebody could have, as they put their phone in that cubby, realized, holy cow, look what I got in my pocket, and they shove that in the cubby too. So I think that's all what the Secret Service is looking for. But I do want to tell your audience something Kayleigh just said, reiterate it. There are no cameras. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people saying on TV, there's cameras everywhere. This should be easy. The Secret Service just wants all their agents to be vigilant on their toes. They don't have cameras in the West Wing.
So they don't have cameras. But again, if the agents are vigilant, it didn't sit there for even an hour. It couldn't have. All right, you want to give it 2 hours. Then the agents aren't that vigilant. Now, here's the other issue. When it was first found, they did not know what it was. They did not know that it might not be fentanyl, which just touching it could kill you. It could be some biological weapon. If you open it up, it's going to spread everywhere and prove deadly to everyone in the White House. So they evacuated the White House. called in the fire department a hazmat crew. And when they tested it, it's cocaine. Riddle me this. If they had tested it before they called in a hazmat crew and found out it was cocaine, do you think you would have heard anything about it to this point? My answer is not only no, but hell no. You only found out because the fire department was called because of a suspicious content, not because of cocaine. More word is coming out, and I'm going to give the man a little slack here. Some of you are going to maybe get upset with me, but if you're president of the United States, what I'm getting ready to read to you would not surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me reference Donald Trump one bit. It certainly, by fact, I know does not surprise me, reference when LBJ was president and others, and that would include Harry Truman. Give them hell, Harry. Joe Biden is being accused by some of his staff as delivering angry, abusive outbursts behind closed doors. One Axios reporter said they're calling it Old Yeller, Biden's private fury. Makes the point that Biden likes to portray himself as a kindly figure who likes to eat ice cream. Well, that we know. And he chats to small children in public and sniffs their hair. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's my bad. That part's not written in here, but we've seen the video, haven't we? And yet, in private, he's prone to yelling curses. Behind closed doors, they say, he has such a quick trigger temper that some aides try to avoid meeting with him alone. Some always take somebody with them, kind of as a shield from the blast. President's admissions include, gee, Diet, how the F don't you know this? Don't F and King bubble F me. Get the F out of here. Now, I would not be surprised if Donald Trump did the same thing. So I'm not going to use this as some kind of weaponization against Joe Biden. He's a man with a difficult job to begin with and suffering already. So I'm going to allow that to simply be reported. Not going to judge him on it. Maybe he needs a vacation. Hell yes, give him a vacation. Get him out of there. Well, he's already taking a lot of time anyway. In fact, some of the latest stats compiled by the RNC research, President Biden has spent 353 days, 39.2% of his presidency on vacation. That doesn't include just spending time in bed in the West Wing or hiding out in the West Wing. This means actually going on vacation to his holiday home in Delaware. In August of 2022, he spent a record 150 days in Delaware in the 18 months since being elected president, according to Breitbart News. He was apparently at Camp David as Afghanistan fell and the mass evacuations began. Now, let me put that against this balance. Former President Trump spent 132 days away from the White House, at his own properties in many cases. Barack Obama spent only 38 days away from the presidency from the White House, either at rental properties in Hawaii or Martha's Vineyard. And President George W. Bush often went home to his Texas ranch maybe 100 days during his entire tenure. I know if I just reported the Biden time out of office, there'd be hell to pay, and rightly so, because I'm not giving you the full story. I do want to give you the full story so you can make some decisions on your own. I will again ask you also to bear with me. This just can't seem to shake this thing into my throat. Maybe a few bottles of Jack while we're on the air would help. But now we are live streaming on so many platforms. Larry Connors USA Facebook, News Talk STL Facebook, Twitter Facebook, both station and Larry Connors USA. I don't have a chance to sip a glass of Jack, or I might do so. And then we come, let me remind you, by the way, in the next hour, I want to let you hear more of Tucker Carlson's interview he did the other day and his view of Donald Trump. That'll be coming up in our next hour. But before then, girls just want to have fun. Or maybe girls just want to be girls, but not in today's culture. I'll explain coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Before I jump to this next story I was going to give you, let me check something that's breaking out here. I don't know for sure if this can be validated. It says the FBI is admitting Joe Biden accepted $5 million in bribes. I don't know if that's fact. It's so hard to double-check things on the Internet quickly enough nowadays, but we'll continue to watch that. But I do know this when I talk about girls just want to have fun or just be girls. There's a YMCA coaching swimming coach in Illinois who is accusing a 16-year-old girl of hate speech. Hate speech. Why? Well, because there was a man claiming to be a transgender woman walking nude in the girls' locker room, and she complained. So they're now saying that's hate speech for calling that transgender person out. No, it's not. She gave her concerns to her head coach. He said, nothing I can do to stop it. It didn't end the controversy. Several parents organized to get things done, and then immediately they said, that girl is guilty of hate speech. Throw her off the swimming team. And now we have the first openly trans pageant contest to win a title this last weekend. Ricky Coley, I think is her name, won the title of Miss Netherlands last Saturday. She will go on to represent her country in Miss Universe later this year. She, in a joyous Instagram post, stated, I did it! I did it! I made my community proud and showed it can be done. And she had an MLJ of the light blue, bright, light pink, white stripe trans flag. She was one of hundreds of contestants originally, got narrowed down to 10. And she says, I promise to have a more inclusive version of the pageant world. 22 years old, now is Miss Netherlands, or is it Miss Mister Netherlands? Women, I have something I need to ask you. When are you going to take back your birthright? When are you going to say enough is enough? We're not going to allow this. I'll tell you this, on my Facebook account, looking at the analytics on demographics on Larry Connors USA Facebook, my audience shows about 60% women, 52% men. Maybe the numbers are mixed, I don't know. but more women listen and watch now, or we're live streaming, than men do. Maybe men don't like a big, hulky, Brad Pitt-looking guy like me. And the women do. I don't know. But my main concern is women, they're throwing you under the bus over and over again. When are you going to say enough and protect your birthright? Remember our pledge, one nation under God.